while behind that board, Pinto? Are you all settled down?
I've relaxed.
Has your blood pressure gone down some?
I've relaxed.
Wow.
Goose Fraba. I'm good.
You what?
Goose Fraba.
Don't know what that means.
It's an Adam Sandler movie, which obviously you hate his comedy,
worst
so you've never seen him.
Comedian in the history of history. Adam Sandler? You're quoting Adam Sandler on this program.
He's obviously not that bad. Look how much money he has.
Just because somebody's rich doesn't mean they're smart or good. Right?
I wouldn't agree with that statement.
Okay, let's see what Clay Jenkinson thinks about that statement. He's our usual Monday guest on the Mike McFeely Show from 4:30 until 5 o'clock on Mondays. Hello, Mr. Clay Jenkinson. Do you agree with me or Pinto? Are all rich people smart and or really talented?
I don't think that's quite what Pinto said.
I think it's exactly what he said, yes.
But I do believe that Adam Sandler must be appealing to an awful lot of people because he's a very wealthy comedian. He's not my cup of tea. I think you and I agree about that. But
yes,
he seems to have struck a chord with a lot of people.
Don't let him off the hook like that. I was looking for some help here.
Pinto's an idiot. How about that?
Thank you.
Yeah.
I thought we talked about this beforehand. You're always on my
side. I forgot that. I mean, I had a momentary lapse. I have good news for you. Better weather is coming. It's 10 degrees here in Bismarck. And it's light snow, and it doesn't snow unless the temperature comes up. So I think you're going to get some relief.
So 10 degrees, are people like walking around in their boxer shorts in downtown Bismarck?
Oh, yeah, I saw a luau here earlier.
I'd like to see that. Take pictures, please. Hey, I learned something new about you that I would never have guessed as I read the Sunday Bismarck Tribune between trying to track down information about the football coach here in Fargo. You're an all-star wrestling fan. You're a Mad Dog Vachon guy. You love the old all-star wrestling.
Yeah, you got it right, the old.
Yes, I can't watch
the new stuff without turning away in disgust. But when I see Dr. X doing the figure four leg lock, and let me just remind you, the Dr. X has a certified $1,000 check in a Minneapolis bank for anyone who can break the figure four leg lock once properly applied. It's never happened. Mike, you know it. I mean, once he has that leg lock, it's a submission hold.
Oh, completely. And it's over when that happens.
He was unmasked once. You know, I saw at least once on the old All-Star Wrestling, Roger Kent was the announcer, and Wally Carbo was the promoter, and of course, Bern Gagne was the owner and the world's greatest wrestler. But once, and only once, did somebody get the mask off Dr. X. And week after week, guys would try to take his mask off, and I always wondered why. I mean, who cares, really, who's under the mask? But that was their one goal. And then, of course, while they were trying to untie the mask, he'd hit him with a foreign object in the eyes.
God. What a great time of life when we're able to watch these guys. And by the way, this was long before the steroid era overtook what is now professional wrestling. And so, really, it was a bunch of middle-aged
guys.
Flabby guys who put on costumes and masks and totally went over the top with their acting or non-acting.
Hey, it wasn't acting.
It was
Mad Dog Vachon was born in Montreal, and he was an Olympic athlete. He went to the London Olympics in 1948. His name was Maurice Vachon. And then I think he had some bad chicken or something, and he went over to the dark side. He became Mad Dog Vachon, and his brother Paul, the butcher, Mad Dog and Butcher Vachon were the tag team champions of the world. I don't want you belittling them.
How come we didn't know this side of you before? You're such a learned man. You're such a worldly man. Such a man who is a Rhodes Scholar, for God's sakes. And the next thing we know, you're quoting Mad Dog Vachon and all these wrestlers from the 1960s and 70s.
Well, because I grew up with that, and my grandmother on a farm in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, they were dairy farmers. And on Saturday night, my grandpa would go to bed around 8, maybe 9. And grandma would sort of maybe stay up, and we'd make a little bit of popcorn in an old popcorn kettle. And we'd watch All-Star Wrestling, and we'd hear the words, "Ladies and gentlemen, live from the Minneapolis Auditorium, this is Roger Kent ringside, and welcome." And then he would have the very capable Kenny J fight against Cowboy Bill Watts or Baron von Roschke. And then poor Kenny J would get the living daylights beaten out of him. And we would be so sad because justice does not seem to prevail in the world. Kenny J abided by the rules. He paid his taxes. He was a good family man. and he never won. And then these rascals, like the Vachon brothers, would bring foreign objects into the ring, and they would trip and choke, and they would run his eyes against the turnbuckles.
Oh.
And my grandmother was certain that it was all true, and it bothered her that there was so little actual justice on this planet. And I don't know how you can be so detached from one of America's premier forms of art, but all-star wrestling in the Vern Gagne. You know, Vern Gagne could take almost anything, Mike. But if you gouged his eyes, you're done. He would go against this rope and that rope for about 12 minutes, and then finally he'd give you a flying drop kick. And that was it. Once you got the flying drop kick, you were done.
It's
I mean,
over.
We all knew.
It's done. The one thing that All-Star Wrestling did do, how's that for a sentence, is it introduced the word turnbuckle to the American lexicon.
Which we needed.
Yes, because everybody of your vintage and of my vintage, when you think about wrestling, the first word that pops into my head is turnbuckle. And without All-Star Wrestling, I would have never known the word turnbuckle.
And did you watch All-Star Wrestling?
No.
Oh, my. You're a sports writer.
I was a very serious young man. I thought that All-Star Wrestling was very fake and it wasn't worth my time.
No, I mean, look, I have seen some very severe injuries. And Roger Kent, the host, would say, that hold is banned in many states because you know, there were some holds that were not widely accepted at that time. And the referees, you know, they weighed about 115 pounds. And they would try to stop the crusher or the bruiser from beating up Iron Man George Gadaski. And it always ended badly for Gadaski.
Fantastic. I think that you're gaining new respect from listeners by
next week, NASCAR.
I wouldn't go so far as to say that. 237-5948. Call Clay Jenkinson or send us an email, send us a text message with the question for Clay. You certainly can. Let me get your take on this.
That's it for the wrestling gag?
Yeah, that's way more than
I was going to give you a pile driver. But go ahead.
Another word, another phrase that was introduced to my lexicon was the pile driver. I forgot. Thank you very much. Since we're speaking of somewhat kind of sports and acting and entertainment, Craig Bohl, head football coach at NDSU, as everybody apparently in the world knows by now, is leaving our state to go to Wyoming for a lot of money and a higher level job. I'm getting messages in and others here at KFGO and our sports station are as well, saying if only people were so worked up about X, name the issue, whatever, you know,
ballet.
Children, hungry children, ballet, poverty, if only they were that worked up about those things as opposed to a football coach leaving, what a better world this would be. Do you agree with that, Clay, or are you like me and are going like, you know what, you were not going to save the world by ignoring a football coach, we're not going to save the world by doing a lot of things, it is what it is, people like football and we just have to report on it.
Oh, absolutely. And I ran into some people at the Pride of North Dakota in Bismarck the other day, and they had NDSU Bison sweatshirts on. And I said, just as a joke, I said, who are these Bison? And they turned and walked away in disgust. You know, I mean, I get the sport. Here's what I don't like. I don't know why we pay coaches $700,000 per year and give them houses and cars and everything else, some of which is illegal. And I don't know why we pay our college presidents $200,000-$400,000 per year. I get how the market works. But it appalls me. But having said that, the situation exists, and you may as well say the moon should be pulverized by lasers as to say that this isn't how Americans see it. And so what's the point of saying, oh, wouldn't it be great if we gave this money to Asperger's research or if we gave this money to cancer research? Those are just throwaway statements. The culture is what the culture is, and it likes what it likes. And it's not for you or for me to tell people what they should do with their joy. If their joy is in gladiatorial sports, in which people throw a ball, hooray! I mean, why? I mean, when they look at my house, they think, "What a loser! The guy sits around with a chessboard." It's not for me or for you to decide what people's tastes are.
Well, and that's as a former sports writer, as a guy who still enjoys sports, I'm not into it quite like I once was. But it always bothered me when people who like the ballet or like the symphony or
they
like
sneer.
And I like those things as well. And if people want to go to those things instead of spending their money at a football game, they are allowed to do that. It's none of my business. I don't care. But don't look down your nose at me because on Saturday afternoons I take my wife and child to the Fargo Dome and go have a hot dog and get 2.5 hours of entertainment than time I can spend with my family, instead of going to the ballet or sipping white wine before the opera. I mean, it's all what we want to do, right?
Of course I agree with that. I think that to be Michael Jordan is to be Beethoven. I mean, there are, I wouldn't say that of the average football player at Morehead State or NDSU, but it, sport has produced some of the greatest achievement in the history of the 20th and 21st century, and there's absolutely no reason why we should have some sort of class hierarchy which sneers at that but prizes an opera singer instead. But having said that, Mike, I think you should be nicer to Pinto, because if he likes Sandler, that's what he likes.
Hey, wait a second now. I just received an email in, and I'll give out the gentleman's first name. It's Shannon.
Yeah.
S is the last initial. It says, Mike, don't let Jenkinson kid you. He is a huge Adam Sandler fan. He carries copies of the Thanksgiving song Turkey for Me, Turkey for You in his car. He has lunch with Sandler in L.A. and is currently writing Waterboy 2. Any of that true, or is that just somebody
teasing
you?
None of that's true. Those are filthy lies. I assume they come from liberals of some sort.
Oh, no, not this guy. Oh, no.
No, but let me say this. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, to be serious for a moment, I think it's absolutely unacceptable to think that football is less important than, say, opera, just because they come from different traditions. And the American people have voted overwhelmingly that they prefer football. There is a niche for opera, and a niche for ballet, and a niche for tone poems. And those are important niches, and I'm glad we live in a culture that has them. But anyone who says, we'll only be a great society when 62,000 people spend the day in the cold to watch ballet, is, I think, a moron. But one thing I would say to you, Mike, is of all the sports, golf, basketball, baseball, you know, you name it, the acme really is all-star wrestling.
You're swaying me. Let me put it that way. Your column on Sunday in the Bismarck Tribune is swaying me toward that direction.
I hope so.
Thank you. I'm going to let you go because we're going to have a very short segment.
God bless all of you, and go NDSU.
Thanks, Clay. Clay Jenkinson, our usual Monday guest on the Mike McFeely Show.